Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio, episode 40. Now we're at 40.
Yay! 40!
Okay, we're officially middle-aged. I don't know, whatever.
What's our crisis going to be?
I don't know.
Do we have one yet?
Too many months to Watchmen.
Okay. Anyway, this is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Josh.
Welcome. We're back after our week hiatus, in which I went to go visit the Wizard of Oz Museum in Kansas.
Oh, please tell us what that was like, because you're probably one of the few, the brave, the proud, who would even talk about that.
There is a place in Kansas that's worth stopping at that's not food, gas, or to go to the bathroom. It's amazing. It's actually it's an amazing collection this guy has built of Wizard of Oz memorabilia between the books and the movies and everything related. He has a first edition, first printing. There's all kinds of memorabilia. I think he actually has the ruby slippers, one of the pairs in there. And it could take you a good half hour or an hour to get through easily if you're a big Wizard of Oz fan. And cool. So had a very good time there. It's just kind of fun to see cool stuff like that.
Does he sell merchandise? Like, I made it back home to Kansas or something like that?
They had a bunch of stuff. They had a bunch of t-shirts. They had a bunch of dolls and all kinds of stuff. I almost brought you guys back ruby slippers each, but
appreciate that.
Yeah. I already have them, so that's okay.
There you go. All right, then. All
do right, they have any Return to Oz stuff or no?
They had the DVD. That's it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about what we saw this week real quick.
All right. In theaters past.
No, what did we see this week?
I always do that.
It's all good.
40 episodes in, I still do that.
It's okay. What did you watch anything spectacular over the past couple of weeks?
Well, not spectacular. I saw one great movie. I'll start with that. I finally got around to seeing Death at a Funeral. Great movie. And yes, Mr. Tudyk steals that movie.
So it is funny.
Yeah. Oh, it's.
And the midget. Come on.
Well, yeah. Julia watched it with me, and I said, you know, I've heard this is really great. I don't know what this is. I don't even know what it's about. And yeah, we were both just dying. And like, Tudyk is so good in the film, but like, the whole cast is so good. The jokes are like, the great setups. It's weird that it's Frank Oz directing this British farce, and it's so good.
I'm not going to spoil it because you haven't seen it yet.
I have,
Josh.
Not seen
okay.
It.
What did you think of the gross out joke?
Disgusting. Really gross.
Is it top the super bad gross out joke?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I think so.
Pretty much. It's like,
Steph had to leave the room. She wouldn't finish the movie with me.
Same idea, different substance. Let's just put it that way. And okay. Yeah, really,
in
really
more
gross.
Places.
In more, okay.
Really gross, yeah.
Yeah, but it is hilarious.
Didn't ruin the movie. The movie, I think, was a little, at times, it was a little too vulgar for me, but even for me, but I did enjoy it. Yeah, great film.
Cool.
Are we just going to take turns? Because I actually have a lot.
Well,
not a lot.
Why don't you go through all of yours, and we'll let Josh do his list, and then I'll...
All right, I got two more. Well, one is a middle-of-the-road movie for me. It's a guilty pleasure, and I don't know if you've seen this. You probably have heard of it. The new Happy Madison movie, Strange Wilderness, with Steve Zahn.
I did see it. It's so middle-of-the-road, yeah.
Yeah, because parts of it, I was laughing so hard, and parts of it were so terrible. So for me, it was like another Grandma's Boy.
And they were just not as good as Grandma's Boy.
But you're right, not as good as Grandma's Boy.
Because they were laughing constantly during the movie. Like, yeah. It was like, just who cares if we catch this on film? But the part where they go in, and after they lose their teeth or whatever, and they to the doctor's office, right. And they're like, have those lisps or whatever, so funny.
I love that. I love when they see Bigfoot.
Yeah.
I was dying. But yeah, it's for me, it was a guilty pleasure because it's really a terrible film, but the funny parts were good enough to see it again even.
Yeah, it was pretty god-awful. Yeah.
And the one that I did see that was really bad, and this is the last one on my list, was The Invisible. What a letdown that film was.
Oh, really?
Talk about a movie like the lead actor seems to be dead even before his character is dead, and that's a real problem.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, it's just... He just gives such a bad performance, and it's a movie that really doesn't know what it is. It's so many different things at the same time. Yeah, I couldn't.
Okay, you have to remind me, which one is The Invisible?
That's the one. Yeah, David Goyer directed, and I think he had a hand in writing it. It's the one about the kid who,
the one who's
he gets murdered, or something,
and you get the scene in the trailer where he like trashes his classroom, and all of a sudden his classroom is just fine. Yeah,
okay.
They're like, they sold it as a supernatural thriller, but it was more like a R.L. Stein meets the CW level teen emo thriller. Yeah, it was really bad.
Ouch. Really okay, bad. I'll let you go through like half your list, Josh.
Okay,
and I'll do mine. Then you can get back and finish your list.
I watched The Ruins.
How was The Ruins? And
how bad was it?
I really, really wanted to like it because the cast is so great. It's got Sean Ashmore and Malone. What's her name?
Jenna Malone.
And I think Joe Anderson is the other guy I like. And everyone was saying how good the book was, and the special effects are really good. But it just felt like I was watching a horror Should I just give away what it is?
No.
No, we wouldn't have
that. You don't think so?
No, we need to let people save themselves.
Okay. It's just when it finally reveals what's going on, it's like, are you got to be kidding me. And I know that there was a way that they could have actually made it like believable and maybe possibly scary, but they just, I'm just going to say, just it looks like Audrey 2. If that means anything to you, it looks like Audrey 2.
That's obscure enough. Yeah. That's funny though, because yeah, even Marty and I would be like, we hated the book, but I'm so curious to see this movie because I don't know how it could work, honestly.
And it just didn't. And I felt like it really could have, and the acting's not
so
bad.
So you have your answer.
Yeah, but just didn't. And people are like, you know what? It's the effects are really good and it's not over the top gory. And I'm like, well, it's not over the top, but when it is gory, oh my God, it is over the top.
Did you see the unrated version or the R-rated version?
I watched the unrated version, but I heard the only difference was the ending.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
But, I mean, there's like a scene where they have to cut off a guy's legs, and there's like just a bunch of stuff like that that's just so disgusting.
And the camera doesn't like turn away or anything.
Oh, no, of course not. So.
Okay, fun.
Right. So avoid the runs.
Fun for the whole family.
Another one that I saw and I didn't like that much was Charlie Bartlett. I just really didn't like this movie. I thought it was a total letdown. It wasn't funny.
That's a shame.
Robert Downey Jr.'s character was such a loser that and I love Robert. That's why I was just like, ugh. So
thank you for mentioning him, because that means I now have two pieces of news when I had zero. So thank you.
Okay. Good work.
So, and the film, it tries so hard to be the next Ferris Bueller and it just isn't.
Yeah, because that's what I've heard it described as, the next Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
It's not at all. And it's confusing at times and it tries too hard. It just was not something I would recommend either.
And if you're hearing heavy breathing in the background, I'm dog sitting for my in-laws, and so that would be yes.
It's not one of us. That.
Yeah, getting really excited about Charlie Bartlett. Okay,
I'll quit for now.
Okay, what did I see? I saw King of Kong, Fistful of Quarters. Really good. I have it. You're borrowing it.
Yep, I'm watching it. Yes. Yeah, as we speak. Yeah.
Yes, I've got it sitting on the counter behind you, actually. Yeah, it was really good. It's different. I don't like it as much as Erica Tarnation, because Erica Tarnation, you could have two guys to root for. This, it's pretty clear there's a good guy and a bad guy.
Okay.
And I could just say that and not tell you who's who, and you'd figure that out on your own really quick. Saw National Treasure 2.
Had you seen it before?
Yeah. I saw the first one.
Why would he see it again? If he had
That's very true. Yeah, I'm sorry for asking that.
Yeah. Since I knew what to expect, I didn't hate it as much as the first one.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely nothing realistic, you know, except for the fact that Indiana Jones ripped it off, but, you know.
Yeah.
I actually walked out of National Treasure 2.
You know, I can't say it's a bad idea. I mean, it was a stupid, stupid, fun kind of movie, but I was just, you just kind of have to throw your hands up and laugh. That's really all you can do. And then, what else did we see? My Mad Godfrey.
Oh,
the original one with William Powell.
Nice.
It is so good. I just love William Powell in general. His work is just good all over the place. Who's the girl in It Happened One Night?
Claudia Colbert.
She's in it as well.
Cool.
It is really good. It's on the Criterion Collection. This is something Barry turned me onto, but if you want to go find movies to watch for free, go to your library. Chances are they're probably going to have a lot of good Criterions as well. And just, you know, it's well worth checking out. And you know, it's a good way to not have to wait for something to come from Netflix.
It's just good geek news in general. Go to your library.
Well, there is that too. Yeah, I went and checked out a graphic novel or two.
We need that sound effect, that doo-doo.
Ta-da. Yeah, there you go. And I think that's all I watched, I want to say. Yeah. Oh, no, watched the first episode of Jekyll, the BBC TV show.
Really good.
The guy who plays Jekyll and Hyde, I'm not going to say how they change him between the two. It's not my kind of show, because it's pretty rough and tumble. It is not a happy show by a long shot, but it is so well done. It is so worth checking out.
Is it modern day? Or?
Yes.
Oh.
It's a modern day take on it. They actually reference the old material and kind of bring it into the mythology. And it is really good. If you got it on Netflix, it's well worth checking out for sure.
But it's a downer.
It is not a happy show, no. So, yeah.
Okay.
But well worth checking out. I'll let you finish up.
Did you see anything?
I'm done. Okay. Yeah, just the three.
I got around to seeing Gotham Knight, which I was really looking forward to. It's not what the Animatrix was, which I thought was like absolutely brilliant, but it's still really, really good. And it's six different interlocking stories, but each segment is by a different animator and has its own distinct style. So
interesting.
That was pretty cool. And then finally, I'm going to rant about this, and I hope to God you guys don't make fun of me, but there was a film that came out last Monday, and it was a one night only thing, and I missed it. And then it came out next day.
Another news story. Thank you, sir.
Okay. But it came out on DVD the next day, and I picked it up. It is a concert film, but it actually beat out U2 3D. It's so awesome. It's John Mayer's Where the Light Is. Oh, it cool. is such a good film.
I like John Mayer. Yeah.
It's shot in 35mm, and it looks absolutely beautiful. He basically encompasses his whole career in this film. He has three different sets. The first set is an acoustic set. The second set he does with his trio band, so it's all blue stuff. And then the third set is his pop stuff. And the movie intercuts him going backstage and changing and discussing, you know, how he feels watching all three of these incarnations of his music is going to play out. But this is really just a, if you like music, it just, and if you want to watch somebody just play their ass off, it is such a good show.
Cool.
So, and it's better. It actually thought it was better than U2 3D. So,
wow.
That's a
U2.
huge thing for me to say.
Like
considering
heresy.
You gave U2 a 3D a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I know. So
this is an 11 out of 10?
This is this is just awesome. So
Cool.
All right. Well, why don't we talk about what came out this week in theaters? Because we're Absolutely. Not going to forget that like we did last time.
No. Guillermo del Toro's sequel, Hellboy 2, The Golden Army. Let's try that again. Brendan Fraser in Journey to the Center of the Earth in 3D. And a film, unfortunately, not about Screen Geek's founder, Dave Minkus. No, Meet Dave, starring Eddie Murphy.
I'd just like to point out that we're recording this Saturday as opposed to Sunday, so we don't have the weekend totals. As of Friday, Meet Dave has made a whopping $1.7 million.
Wow.
Thank God. Something has to happen to that.
No wonder Eddie Murphy was talking about retiring. I'm just saying.
I love the guy. I just wish he would do a good movie. Dreamgirls was only two years away. He was good in that.
He was. It could have been the turnaround, and then came Norbit.
Then, yeah, exactly. Norbit, like, torpedoed that.
Yes.
And well, then, why wouldn't he want to do another Beverly Hills Cop or something that would revive
it? To start with, Brett Ratner's directing it.
Well, I know that, but...
And he wants to make it a PG-13 film?
But no, he says it's going to be a hard R.
Oh, really?
Now he finally said
that. Now it's a hard R. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know what I heard, though, is that Murphy, not to talk too much about this, but I heard Murphy, you know, now that he's a father with kids, he wants, like, he doesn't want to do the kind of movies that I want to see him do. He doesn't want to do Coming to America. He doesn't want to do 48 Hours or Trading Places or Hill Scott. He wants to do more movies like Shrek and The Haunted Mansion and Daddy Daycare because he's got these little kids and he doesn't want his kids to see him like Eddie Murphy raw again. You know, on one hand, I respect that, but on the other hand, it's like, you know, he's selling himself short by doing these bad movies.
Yeah, if it was better quality, I'd have no problem with it.
Sure.
I mean, if he'd made the transition, I mean, now granted, Bill Cosby was never as blue as Eddie Murphy ever was. But still, he made that transition into making really good family entertainment outside of, you know, Ghost Dad and Leonard Part 6.
Right. It's funny. Like, lately, Bill Cosby's movies are looking like Eddie Murphy's movies.
No, I would love to just down a bottle of rum, but I know that would be bad for me. Why does he continue to do this crap? This makes me so upset.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on. You guys both saw Hellboy 2. I didn't because many busy things this weekend.
Sure.
Yeah. But what did you all think?
You should go first.
Yeah.
Start
with your disclaimer, though.
Okay. Well, my disclaimer is I did not see Hellboy 1. And I actually wrote down my reason because I'm like, well, I better back myself up here. That was the same year that Catwoman, Spider-Man 2, and The Punisher came out, and many other comic book movies. I was just so overblown with comic book movies. I needed a break. And I hadn't read the source material, and I just had no desire to see the first one. Now I clearly have to. I liked it. I didn't know what to expect. It was, you know, the whole Men in Black kind of hip attitude. I was not expecting that. The movie was like, it was like, it's kind of like The Dark Crystal as told by Clive Barker. It was just really, you know, just,
I could see that.
You know, very, on one hand, it was dark and somber, yet it was also very funny and upbeat.
So I didn't think it was dark at all compared to the first one.
Well, pretty twisted at times, I thought. I think my problem with it is that it didn't touch me emotionally. There was a lot of emotional changes, and no spoilers here, just a lot of things that the characters are going through, and none of those developments really intrigued me. The action sequences I thought were tremendous.
Yeah.
The sequence with the tooth fairies, again, no spoilers. All of the sword battles, I mean, just incredible.
The ending battle on the gears, like, yeah, just, the big, set pieces are awesome.
The big fight with that green ecological monster that's going to give, like, environmentalists the willies. It's such a creepy green eco monster. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I didn't, it's not my favorite movie this summer, but it certainly will stay with me. I think the PG-13 rating's a joke, though. I think children would be terrified of this movie.
See, I didn't think so. I thought that way about the first one.
The monster with all the eyeballs on his wings—that's terrifying. If I was like
the first one,
years old,
the opening.
The first one's probably the first one's really dark.
Yep. One of the opening scenes is when Rasputin is c- comes like revives himself and he comes out of a pool of blood. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It's there's a lot more darker stuff. And the first
one's PG-13 also.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Gosh, yeah. Man, that rating is a joke.
Yes. So Josh,
to me, I think this is going to be the biggest disappointment for me of the summer.
Of the whole summer, really?
Of the whole summer.
I was more than really Indiana Jones?
I wasn't really looking forward to any. I kind of knew it was going to suck.
Okay.
So maybe not. But I just was so looking forward to it because I just loved the first one so much. And to me, it just felt like too much cotton candy.
Okay.
It was too much fluff. I couldn't, like you, I couldn't connect with the characters really like I could in the first one. And I felt like Hellboy's like dry wit and stuff wasn't as good as the first one, and the humor didn't work out as well. I think the characters are so hard to like just because not only their appearance, but it's just the film is so different, and it's hard to connect with like Iron Man or, you know, Hulk or anything like that, which those are different characters too, but these are so out there. But the, like you said, the action scenes are fantastic, the special effects, the puppetry in the movie is amazing.
Yeah.
So definitely, I think it is worth seeing on the big screen only for just the how big and really big the movie is. It's really epic.
Can anybody explain to me Selma Blair, the appeal of Selma Blair? Like,
you know, I think she's so cute. What was up with her hairdo this entire movie?
Yeah, I didn't find her very appealing, but I'm trying to remember like if there was a movie that she was really awesome in. I can't think of, was there ever a film that like made America fall in love with her?
No, I don't think so.
I've never liked her.
Yeah. And her character was so much more dark in the first one. Like, she was really happy in this one, which was kind of out of place.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you remember the first one.
Yeah.
So it was just like, oh, okay, character change there. So it just felt like kind of a different, and I know that the production house moved studios, so it just felt different.
Okay.
So
do you think it was like too, like they're whitewashing it a little bit to make it more mainstream and acceptable?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Cool. It'll be curious to see what they're going to do if they do a third one.
So. Gotcha. All right. Well, let's talk about DVDs for this week, and there's not a whole lot there, I don't think.
Interesting mix, Birds of Prey.
Did you ever watch the series? I did not, but I know the guys at Geek Radio Daily are big fans.
Big fans, yeah. I never
had the Oracle and all kinds of people. And
man.
Yeah, yeah. I never saw it, but I heard it was kind of fun, so I might check it out.
Was it on for a season? Or?
Barely.
Okay, yeah. I never got the chance to see it. One of the more creatively titled sequels, Step Up to the Streets.
I can't wait to see this.
I don't know.
Because someone has to.
Just because it just looks like crap, but crap that I can like fully enjoy.
Well, you know, as someone who did see it, it is that. It is fully enjoyable crap. A movie that I saw, liked, and I'm the one. Christina Ricci and Reese Witherspoon in Penelope. Good film. I
Penelope.
Liked it.
Sorry.
It sounds better that way.
Yeah.
It's like a fruit. Martin Lawrence and Donnie Osmond in College Road Trip.
And Raven Simone.
Sorry, I'm skipping over Raven Simone.
Yeah, well, you know. There's,
that's okay. Just so yeah, Raven.
She's the star. Come on.
She is. Jason Statham. Movie Dave and I were kind of split on. The Bank Job.
I'm not going to say it's a great film, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
that was a good throwback.
I liked. Yeah.
It was a good throwback to the 70s like kind of heist films.
A man crush on Jason Statham. I should go out and see it.
It's well worth checking out. He's the best part of the movie by far.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and the heist was very well done. I can't say I was crazy about the movie. It's kind of a sleazy movie, I think.
It really is. It kind of has that sleaze of the. I was reading up on it. And apparently, that's exactly the kind of movies that the British made in the 70s. So it's a complete throwback. So
yeah, it definitely felt like that. Like,
yeah, but you know, if you like Statham, it's not like, you know, you're sitting through In the Name of the King,
or Death Race.
Yeah.
Death Race. You can get that in one or two disc special edition. Movie that no one saw, yet it made money. Joshua Jackson in the remake of Shudder released.
Oh, that's okay, now I remember the stupid trailer. Yeah, they did a Ghost Whisperer episode that was like that.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, okay.
Available in R and unrated special edition. Meet Bill, the prequel to Meet Dave. Not really. It stars Aaron Eckhart and Jessica Alba. So Josh will see it. And then Secretary. Being re-released on DVD. Why?
What is this?
James Spader, Maggie Gyllenhaal. It's about
S&M. It's kind of a fetish movie. Yeah.
Okay, I think I've seen pictures.
It's... Wow.
An accident.
Uh-huh. It's... I don't know. I can't say it's a good movie.
No, I didn't like it, honestly. Okay, I really put a bad taste in my mouth.
Either. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. All right, let's hit some news. I'll start off with my first one because I'm going to forget otherwise. Something Barry and I, I'm sure both of us will be going, I don't know about Josh, but July 24th, 7:30 p.m. at I think there's two or three theaters here in the Springs that are going to be doing this, War Games 25th anniversary.
Yes. Shall we play a game?
Oh, yes. Nice. Matthew Broderick. Here's the thing. Have you ever seen War Games?
No, I have not.
Then don't go.
Okay, okay.
This is a movie for nostalgia, because if you're looking for something remotely realistic to what computers can do, not the movie for you.
It's you don't think I'd enjoy it, though, even...
I think you would.
You think so?
I think it's a good thriller, honestly. In that sense, it holds up. But yeah, in terms of reality, it's like Tron.
It's like, or Hackers.
Yeah, or you know, yeah, or Electric Dreams. It's just completely silly and far-fetched, but it was a huge hit.
Oh.
And it's...
I saw it in the theater.
What's that?
I remember seeing it in the theater.
Wow, you saw it in the theater?
Oh, yeah. My folks took me. Yeah, they weren't too thrilled because of the swearing in it, because, you know, they were trying to keep me sheltered still, but, you know.
Yeah, well. That's true. There's a lot of cussing for a PG movie. No, it was good. It was one of the biggest hits of the year. It's Matthew Broderick and Ally Sheedy and Dabney Coleman. It's really good. Yeah.
The Whopper.
Yes. Not even remotely believable or realistic, especially now that we know what computers are capable of, but good movie.
It's fun. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good news.
So, okay.
Oh, The Day the Earth Stood Still trailer. Did you see it? You did. You're looking at me like you want to hurt me.
Not you. Just they say in the trailer that the primary difference between the two movies. Did you notice that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I was like, wow, it is The Happening too.
Yeah, really. Yeah, it's going with the whole eco thing. And again, it's not that that's not important, but that's not what The Day the Earth Stood Still is about. And the original message to me is so much more.
Yeah, I agree.
More immediate.
Yes. Here's the thing. If it's an environmental message and aliens are coming down, I'm taking the Hitchhikers to the Guide to the Galaxy approach. It's all a big experiment. They're going to let it go. Who cares? I'm done.
That's a very good point. What I really didn't like, I'm not sold on Keanu as Klaatu at
me
all.
Either.
What I did like, Gort.
Yes.
The ray shooting out of his eye.
You'll be okay once Keanu says, whoa, and then...
And I mean, if Gord is going to be in it, and it is going to be The Happening, maybe him and Wally can get and Eve can just go off and flutter around together.
Yeah. Okay.
The Max Payne trailer was released. Did you get a chance to see this?
Yes, that was very underwhelming. Yeah,
that's such a nice way to put it.
Some cool visuals, but it didn't look like the source.
What the hell are those flying things? Those were not in the game.
All right. Not a big fan of the game. I played it for about an hour and shut it off.
It's pretty much.
And the trailer looks like more of the same. And
yeah. I'm starting to wonder about Mark Wahlberg's post-Oscar choices. I mean, he went from The Departed to Shooter to The Happening to Max Payne.
And I'm like, he can be. I firmly believe he can still be a really good action star.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I think he's an excellent
just
actor.
Not happening yet for some reason.
It's not happening yet.
Oh, sorry.
That was very much unintentional too.
Good pun.
All right. I've got a twofer here. So, have you guys heard the Sherlock Holmes news?
Yeah.
There's two movies coming out. First of all, the serious one. Is it Fincher that's doing it?
Yes.
With Robert Downey Jr. playing Sherlock Holmes. Very interesting choice.
Yeah.
He can play the cerebral side a lot more like the Jeremy Brett version of Sherlock Holmes, which I think would be really good. And then on the taking a giant defecation all over Sherlock Holmes, you have Judd Apatow doing a version with Will Ferrell and Sacha Baron Cohen.
That's right.
Now, I'm going to say I'm not saying that Judd Apatow is not without talent, that he's not a talented writer. I'm saying that his brand of humor is not compatible with the story of Sherlock Holmes. I am calling it out right now.
Sure. They've already done this type of movie. They did a movie with Gene Wilder called The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes' Martyred Brother.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Did you ever see it?
I never saw it.
It wasn't very good at all.
And Without a Clue was okay.
Thank you. Without a Clue with Michael Caine. That's right. That's right. Forgot about that.
That actually was a humorous twist that actually kind of tried to stay true still.
Yeah.
Kind of fitted into that framework. This is going to make me. This is going to make me not watch a Judd Apatow movie ever again.
This is going to be like old school period piece. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Thanks to a certain movie that we all like very much, Hello Dolly is looking at a musical Broadway revival thanks to its exposure in the movie WALL-E.
Really?
Apparently, the soundtrack to the movie has been to Hello Dolly has been selling like hotcakes thanks to WALL-E. So within the next three years, we'll probably see a big budget Broadway revival, all because of our little robot friend.
Okay, then.
I don't think I have any more.
Have you got anything else? I'm done.
I've got a couple more.
Okay.
I'm sure you heard this is great news. I heard this on, I think, Ain't It Cool. Fanboys. Apparently, it's going to be released later this year in the original cut release. So apparently, the Fanboys indeed won.
Yes. And you said you had something else?
It's not really news, though. So I'm going to wait until Barry's done with this.
Okay.
My last one, it's been announced officially by the director, Victor Sava. Jeepers Creepers 3, The Cathedral, coming soon.
Just for Josh.
Did you like Jeepers Creepers 2? I only saw the first one, and I got to say, I liked it.
I love the first one.
The second one
is just so bad. But it's a lot of fun, but it's not scary like the first one was. I thought the first one was so terrifying.
Is Justin Long in the second one?
For like a split second.
Oh,
you see him as like a dead person. Because
he's not going to be in the third one now that he's actually a name actor.
Oh, no.
No.
No. This is more of a discussion type thing that I heard about. Did you know Guillermo del Toro was originally supposed to direct Seven?
Seven, yes. And he said he's far too much of an optimist to make Seven because it's such a downer of a movie.
That's interesting because, and I appreciate that, but Pan's Labyrinth, as much as I love the film, that's a depressing film.
You think?
That's one of the darkest.
I won't go into spoilers, but it's kind of hard to see any happy ending in that movie at all.
No kidding. I mean, it's like Labyrinth on depressants. I mean, that's a sad, sad movie.
Yeah. Yes. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I think that's really interesting.
It's very interesting.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, let's take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Hey, Paisan, how you doing? It's been a while since we talked, hasn't it? I bet you're sitting there with your iPod all plugged in or your MP3 what's this who's it, you know, and you're sitting there thinking, there must be something very important for this good friend of mine to suddenly break from his busy schedule to talk to me. And you know what? You are absolutely right. T. Morris, the author of Billabong Battings and the Case of the Singing Sword, he's back. He's written The Case of the Pitcher's Pendant, a Billabong Battings mystery. Classy, huh? And he's all excited about the book premiere. But here's the thing. We don't want you to go to Amazon.com right now and pre-order Billy Battings. You really don't want to do that. Trust me, you don't want to do that. I know it sounds crazy, but that's what we're talking about here. Billy's Crazy Eights. On August 8, 2008. 8808. Get it? Huh? That's clever, ain't it? We are asking you to go to Amazon.com and place your order for The Case of the Pitcher's Pendant. That's right. On August 8th, you hit Amazon. You hit them hard. Just don't whack anybody in the process, okay? Just, you know, leave that to the professionals. So we understand each other? Yeah, that's what I thought. You know, you and I, we got this rapport, and I just, that's good. That's really good. Whoa, wait. Where are you going? Yeah, I know this is the point in the promo where I usually say, why are you still here? But not this time. No. You wait. I told you to wait. What? You got calzone in your ears? 8808. That's when you go. Capiche? All right. Enjoy the rest of your podcast.
And our thanks to T. Morris.
Thank you, sir.
I have actually started listening to the first Billabong Battings, Case of the Singing Sword. It is really fun. If you want to, essentially, it's a dwarf from Middle Earth that gets sucked through to 1930s Chicago, 30s or 40s, and becomes a gumshoe detective.
Interesting.
And it's hilarious. It is so good. Well worth checking out.
Awesome.
So yeah, we may try to rope him into an interview at some point, although I haven't approached him yet. So if he listens to the show, this will be news to him. Hey, hey. So, all right, we got a short topic this week just because we were trying to not let the show go too out of control. But
Batman.
There we go. Just a brief history of all the incarnations of Batman.
Let's just go in the circle. Favorite Batman movies. You start.
Mask of the Phantasm.
Excellent answer.
Is that the animated one?
Yes.
Yeah. Very good answer.
Or it's between that and Return of the Joker, which was Batman Beyond, but still really good.
Nice.
I have to say Batman Begins.
Okay.
Just sorry.
Good. I'm glad.
I completely understand that.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad we all have different favorites. Mine's the Tim Burton Batman movie, the first one. That's still my favorite.
Which I did grow up on that, so.
Likewise, yeah.
Okay. That's our topic for the week.
See you later.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, I
good night, everybody.
I don't know.
No, okay. I think I remember seeing The Mask of the Phantasm in theaters.
I did, too.
Did that have Mr. Freeze in it? No.
No,
that just was kidding.
Sub-Zero.
I don't know why I just said that.
That's okay. It's okay.
Oh, yeah. So it had Sub-Zero in it?
No, Sub-Zero was the Mr. Freeze movie that was not so
I'm thinking of that one.
Okay.
You know, interesting. That movie actually opened on Christmas Day. I didn't get to see it. It was only in like...
Mask of the Phantasm did?
Yeah.
That's right, it did.
Christmas Day, and it was gone very quickly.
Really good. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
Very well done.
That's your favorite Batman movie?
It's up there. It is... I love...
Wow. It's great.
Love the Batman the Animated Series stuff.
That's true.
I own all four seasons. I didn't get a chance to put it up this week, and I'm really bummed. I do apologize, because Best Buy had all four seasons for $17.99 apiece.
No!
Yes.
Oh, I would have
They had that. They had Batman Beyond for like $12.99 a season. They had Justice League and Justice League America for Unlimited for $20 a season. It was just a really good sale.
Oh.
Mask of the Phantasm had Mark Hamill as the Joker, right?
Yes.
He did the voice in the show, though.
Yes,
too, right?
Yes. And he spans through all the series. Not so much in Batman Beyond. But yeah, shall we talk about the iterations?
Yeah, let's talk about the first one, Batman the movie with Burt Ward and Adam West.
Came out last week.
Yeah. I hadn't seen it yet. I watched some clips online of it. Did you see the part with the dolphin?
Yes.
Yeah.
You saw the dolphin jumping?
No, I just saw the shark repellent thing.
Okay, the bat shark repellent.
Which, oh my God.
Oh, it's such an awful movie.
It exploded when it hit the water. The shark did.
Yeah.
Now, forgive me. It's been years since I've seen the movie. Is it, who's Catwoman? Is it Julie Newmar or is it, or my favorite?
I think, who's later?
Eartha Kitt.
I don't remember.
Okay. Yeah, I can't remember either. It's been years.
We saw it once and it kind of broke our brains. After when the dolphin jumped in front of the torpedo to save Batman and Robin, I'm like, you can't make up stuff like that. Obviously, I didn't show it, but they're like, you know, sitting on a buoy waiting for the torpedo to come. And next scene, they're driving away in the Batboat. It was so good of that.
Peter would not be happy.
It was so good of that noble dolphin to sacrifice himself. And my Steph and I were like, what? So yeah. Oh, awful.
Did you like the TV series at all?
We have a unofficial copy of the entire series. Yeah, it's fun, but it's not great.
Because that was my first introduction to Batman. Was that
absolutely
yours as well?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I remember getting the theme music confused with the Munsters for some reason.
It does have a similar jingle.
Oh
yes. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. So okay. Did you watch the old series much?
No, I've seen a few episodes of it.
Yeah.
And that's something that I really want to keep watching.
Frank Grisham's Riddler was really good.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed him as the Riddler.
Did you like Cesar Romero's The Joker? Not so much?
Well, in the era of the Frank Miller Batman, it just doesn't fit.
Sure. So, but I still love Burgess Meredith as
The Penguin, yes.
Love him as that. Yeah.
Yes. And then where do we go from there? Do you get to the Friends?
Let's do that.
Super Friends cartoon. Yeah. Oh, and then you had the Batman with Scooby and Shaggy, and
Did that.
Oh yeah,
a lot of people were on Scooby and Shaggy.
No, I know that, but not Batman.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. When it was Scooby and Shaggy and Scrappy, that Batman and Robin were actually in the opening credits.
Ouch, that really hurts my head.
Yeah, it was, and it was still Casey Kasem doing Robin's voice, He did it in Super Friends as well.
Weird crossover.
Super Friends was bad. It was, even though it had Hal Jordan eventually, it made me happy. But you know, the Wonder Twins.
Fun little time capsule, but not great.
Yeah, no. It honestly, after that, it pretty much jumps straight to the Burton movies, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Yeah,
which really revitalized it. I still don't think it stayed too true to the character, but I think Batman was a good movie overall.
Yeah.
Batman Returns, you want to talk about the PG-13 rating being a joke?
No joke. In fact, we have my mother here today. Hi, Mom. I remember Marty and I actually saw Batman Returns with my mom in the theater. I remember how terribly offended you guys were when it was over. Like, can't believe that was PG-13. How horribly.
I haven't seen it in so long.
Remind sick. It's really, I mean, it is and, a twisted and, I'm, movie. And I'm someone who likes the film a lot, but it's sick. I mean, when Michelle Pfeiffer as Selina Kyle falls out of a window and falls.
Yeah, I do remember
the
that.
The cat's licking up her blood. It's like, this movie was like advertised on Happy Meals and it was very inappropriate, and Danny DeVito's making like one penguin sex joke after another. But I like the film. I like the film because I really love the, and again, you know, nothing to do with the comic book lore, but I do like what Danny DeVito did as the Penguin, and likewise especially what Michelle Pfeiffer did as Catwoman.
Who does Christopher Walken play? I remember him being in
Max Schreck. He plays her boss, Max Schreck. Yeah, yeah. Nice little in-joke there. Yeah, one of those, he's kind of like the Cole Kidman in the third Batman movie, completely unnecessary character to the movie, Walken's in the movie.
And wasn't it after Returns is when the animated series kicked off?
That's right, yeah.
Which brought us the definitive Joker, Mark Hamill, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
And that, seriously, that show holds up so well. Oh, yeah. I can watch an episode anytime.
I was watching it the other day with my brother, and he'd never seen it. My mom comes in, she's like, why are you watching this? I'm like, shut up. It is so good. Don't make fun of me.
Absolutely. And then we had the Schumacher years.
Yeah.
Which they actually make fun of in season 4 of Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's this little in-joke on where they take a different Batman throughout the years. They have these little kids who tell stories from their parents or uncles or whatever, and one's from like for the 40s with, you know, golly geez, I better do blah, 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 you know, and it ended with the Dark Knight Returns, like the Frank Miller stuff. I was like, that's just so cool they did that. But there's a really funny joke about Joel Schumacher in that.
I think the only thing I want to say about that, I think I've said enough of that. I think a Bat fan actually pointed this out to me. It was kind of an offhanded way of defending the Schumacher movies. I thought, that's really interesting. He was telling me, like, well, you know, as much as Bat fans hate to admit it, But the Schumacher movies are very much not only like the TV series, but like what the comic books were like in the 60s at that time. The TV series and the comic books were kind of in sync. They were totally copacetic in their vision of Batman being very campy, being very silly. The villains got silly. The stories got very silly. You know, and you could either blame the comics or the TV show, but they were definitely feeding each other.
Or I could blame Schumacher.
Oh, you just do that.
I would blame Akiva Goldsman, the writer, because you know, as much as I really don't like the film, especially Batman and Robin that he directed, Akiva Goldsman wrote those movies, and he wrote that terrible dialogue that Schwarzenegger had to utter throughout that whole
Batman
movie.
Batman and Robin made me never want to watch another Schumacher film ever again, and that was because of his treatment of Bane. Mm. Just as a comic, I'm like, this is the guy who broke Batman's back. And he's mindless thug number three.
The character was wasted just like Steel was wasted in his own movie. It's like no... That's a very good comparison.
Totally wasted.
You guys would not even believe what I found in my kitchen cabinet the other day. I don't know why my mom kept this. We have a Burger King Two-Face glass with him flipping the coin, and that's the handle. And like, it's like,
I remember that. I used to have that. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. We still have it.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe I'll drink some milk with this.
And that movie is the reason why we didn't get Batman for how many years?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they tried, and it seems like either conceptually didn't work or was too expensive. You know, the one that was going to be really cool was Darren Aronofsky's Batman Year One.
And he was working with Frank Miller on writing the script.
Yeah. How interesting would that have been?
Although I wasn't too disappointed, because Batman Begins did take a lot from Batman Year One as well. So yeah. I wasn't too bummed. I would love to see an Aronofsky. That's the other piece of news. Dadgummit. Aronofsky's in talks to remake RoboCop.
Oh, yeah. I did hear that.
That's strange news.
For him to pull it off, we'd have to be talking about a John Carpenter's The Thing kind of masterpiece, I wouldn't put past him, but still, that's a lot of pressure to put on yourself.
Total revisionism, yeah. I'd be interested to see. I would trust him with it, you know.
Yeah, it's like I would see it, and I'd be the first in line, absolutely. But okay, sorry, didn't mean to.
That's totally news.
Yeah. Is there much other Batman? You got all the animated stuff?
Well, then there's Begins.
Batman Begins, and now we got The Dark Knight, which is...
Did you guys see it on IMAX? Batman Begins on IMAX?
Oh, yeah. Opening day for screening.
Okay, good.
Cool. Yeah. Then I took the wife to see it that night, and fuzzy screening and kid coughing the entire movie.
I saw it three times in a span of 2 days, I think.
Wow. Awesome. Nice. I saw it at the Lahaina Cinema in Maui with Julia in this little theater that's been there for over 20 years now. And not the biggest screen, but special experience. Very nostalgic for me.
Very cool. Right on. Well, I guess that's about it. I'm looking forward to Batman. It's going to rule.
And I hope so.
Moriarty over at Ain't It Cool made a very good point. He specifically addressed everyone talking about comparing it to Godfather Part 2 and Heat. He said, if you go into those kind of expectations, you're demanding of this movie that it change your life, because that's the kind of movie that you're expecting.
Yeah.
And it's just not fair to the movie. So.
Yeah, but I just don't see it's going to be disappointing on any level at all.
No.
So that's just awesome.
Yeah. I've read like two or three negative reviews, and they were good to read, because it's like, okay, thank you. Some lower expectations. I heard it was too long. It was like it takes itself so seriously. I've heard that some people say it's brilliant. Some people say that Heath Ledger goes way over the top, which is funny because it's like they're like, well, you know.
If they talk about the nuances of Jack Nicholson, I will like throw a brick at somebody.
Nicholson was good in that film.
Yeah, but over the top. And then there's Jack Nicholson.
Well, the thing is, one was campy. It's like this character is over the top. There's nothing subtle about the Joker. You know, that criticism doesn't even apply to the character.
Especially if you've read like Arkham Asylum or The Killing Joker.
Yeah.
Which is what he was given to read for.
Yeah.
And I'd say Arkham Asylum is definitive Joker right there.
Yes. Ooh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, and then did you ever, okay, one last thing before we close this up. Did you ever see Batman Dead End?
No. Oh, the fan film. That was great.
The fan film, yes.
That was great.
There's a guy who, he actually cast a former Mr. Olympia as Batman. So he looked like the Alex Ross drawings, had the gray suit and everything. It looked amazing. And it had Boner from Growing Pains playing the Joker. And he was a really good Joker.
Excellent. Yeah.
I would have been okay with him playing the Joker over Crispin Glover in a heartbeat.
Huh.
And then I don't know. I don't think
the Predator shows up, right?
Yeah.
Sorry,
the aliens show up, the Predators show up, all kinds of weird stuff starts happening.
Wait, Crispin Glover played Joker?
No, but there was a lot of talk that he would be a great Joker.
I
was like, this guy would be way better.
Yeah, and there's also a rumor that Sean Penn was up for the role too.
That anger.
I'm having a hard time even imagining him as Harvey Milk. I can't much less imagine him as a Joker. But
so yes, shoot us an email. Let us know what you think of what your favorite Batman stuff is and why we're full of it or right or whatever. And let's move on to what's hitting theaters this week.
Well, this week,
Mamma Mia.
That's right, the ABBA musical. Everybody from Meryl Streep to Pierce Brosnan in the critically acclaimed film. You know, they're opening up against Batman for a reason. They really feel that
because it's for everyone who doesn't want to see Batman.
Well, I hear they say it's just a really terrific movie. Well,
I wanted to pierce my eardrums after the trailer, and that's just my personal musical tastes, which is why I'm probably not going to see it. I'm not going to talk smack about it because it's not meant for me. Because I have no desire to see it.
Ditto. But the Batman's, the IMAX is doing 6 a.m. showings now because of how much they're
showing. Like 7 theaters. Yeah. 7 cities, yeah.
So, I mean, they're selling out.
I was hoping that would happen here so I could, like, go see it before going to work or something. Oh, yeah.
That's always nice.
Yeah.
Film nobody wants to see, Space Chimps, also opening this. Talk about a movie being buried by its studio.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's worse than a February dumping ground.
Oh, I mean, you know, anybody who wants to see Space Chimps will probably be at Dark Knight or Mamma Mia or WALL-E or Kung Fu Panda or even Meet Dave. I mean, you know, they're not going to be seeing Space Chimps.
Yeah, I mean, this is them looking for an excuse to say, hey, this is why this movie failed.
They're like, hey, man, we released it in the summertime. I don't know why. Exactly. It didn't do well.
And one quick aside real quick, Janet posted in one of our episodes us talking smack about Twilight,
Janet.
And she really digs it. So in you know, to respect her, we're not going to talk smack about it until there are more trailers and things like that, until there's more of a basis to.
I haven't said a single thing.
I know it's been me, and I will fully admit that.
And Janet, I want to tell you, I read. Have you got your new Entertainment Weekly yet?
No, I quit getting it.
I
know they're on the cover.
The article has me wanting to see Twilight now.
Really?
The story was so compelling about the writer and about the film. Kristen Stewart is starring in it. I want to see the movie now. I got to say, Janet, I've completely turned around on this. So.
All right, there we go. All right, let's hit DVDs. I just wanted to throw that out there real quick.
Absolutely. Oh, well, can't forget Christian Bale is Batman, Heath Ledger is the Joker, and Katie Holmes is not in The Dark Knight.
Because she went to make mad money. Oh, wait.
Katie. DVD releases, Spaced, the complete series.
If there's a DVD you're going to buy next week, it has to be that one.
Awesome.
A moral imperative that it must be owned.
Can you briefly, just for people who've never heard the show before and don't know what Spaced is, just the...
Spaced is... It is the show for geeks, period. It is Simon Pegg and Jessica Stevenson. Her last name was Stevenson at the time. Now it's Hines. But they end up moving in together as two people who were kicked out of where they were living and have to pretend to be a couple in order to get this apartment, which sounds like ripe for the most banal, awful sitcom, which they did it on purpose. And it turns in, they have such rich characters. There are so many geeky references that it's worth watching the trivia tracks that are going to be on there. I heard they're going to carry over the homage ometers. It's worth watching just because you'll miss stuff that's in there. You're like, well, a lot of it, there's a lot of British references that you'll miss. You know, who cares? But there's a lot of American stuff that it has a British sensibility, but it's very American geeky accessible.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. If you are offended by language at all, don't watch it.
Well, thank you. Listeners, Dave is the guy who got me into this show. You've essentially thrust it upon Julia and I, and we became fans after 5 minutes. It's that good.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. The first show is a little draggy, but after that, it
kicks off.
Yeah.
Really quick. Yeah. One of my favorite films from the 80s, the Amazon exclusive 2-disc special edition of Kiss of the Spider Woman, the film that won William Hurt the Best Actor Academy Award.
There's a Blu-ray edition as well, and on Amazon, they're saying it's an exclusive as well. So I don't know if it's the movie's exclusive, because if it is, that's pretty major to pull off. Definitely. It might be a timed exclusive. I don't know.
Yeah, it's edgy stuff, but it's a beautiful film. Raul Julia, one of his best performances. Love Raul Julia. Robot Chicken, Star Wars. It's a completely
the Star Wars special.
They're pretty funny.
Different direction.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Movie Josh is not all that crazy about. 21, available in the single and double disc special edition.
No, Josh.
Did you see this one, Dave?
It's not even fun. It's just like...
I was going to, because you know I'm all about playing cards. And
I would rather play cards than watch that.
Okay.
Do that.
Yeah, you're not a big card player, though, are you?
No.
Yeah. But you should come to our poker night. We have a lot more fun.
I teach me how to play. I'm terrible. Which is why you probably want me to come to take all my money.
Yeah. Hey, we play for cheap, so.
Would you rather play Go Fish than see 21 again?
Yeah.
Would you rather watch The Happening?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh, no.
I love that's like the ultimate.
And I wouldn't watch the Ruins again. Because at least like... Kate Bosworth is stunning in it. So
there you go.
Okay. Kate Bosworth is that stunning. Comedy Central's TV Funhouse, also on DVD.
Robert Smigel.
Very nice.
I wonder if they're going to have the ambiguously gay duo in there.
I hope so.
They got it. Absolutely. And then finally, Masters of Horror Season 2 box sets.
Yeah, it looks like a skull. Kind of creative.
Those are those movies that are like they get
the
a different
show
director.
Yes. Yeah, it's like John Landis and all those.
I've not seen a single one of those.
Watch The Carpenter Cigarette Burns. It's really disturbing, but it's really good.
Okay, and there's one that I think
Joe Dante, director of Gremlins, has done two. Yeah, he's done two.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard Takeshi Miike might have done one.
Yeah, he did that one imprint.
He did imprint that got pulled that Showtime wouldn't even play it.
Right.
Huh.
Yeah, as a horror fan, I feel like I'm missing out on this too.
Me too.
I heard they're really good.
Yeah, well, we're checking out. All right, well, is that about all we got this week?
That's all she wrote.
Okay, cool. Well, if you'd like to email us, please do so. You can shoot us an email, podcast, Barry, Josh, Ethan, Nate, Dave, whatever, at screengeeks.com. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, you can call us at 719-387-1804. You can also call us over Skype. If you hit our contact us page on the site, there's the address there, and you'll get to our voicemail just the same. And I guess that'll just about do it. So until next week, this is Dave.
This is Batman.
And Josh.
Wow.